This is Brian Meador from East Carolina University. You are listening to the Sports Objective, the official, unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective right here. It's a great night. This night is going to be so much fun. Hey, Kyle Barber, what's up, dude?
What's going on, Dave? I'm sitting here on a Tuesday night in late June, just starting to turn the page and feel my Phil Steels on the way, guys. I ordered it yesterday and getting in football mode.
I have mine that I have, not my Phil Steele, but I'm glad you said that. I ordered that. But I was telling Bubba, I got Lindy's at a local bookstore.
So oh, yeah, I picked up half one. I left Lindy's land there. I didn't need any toilet paper.
Well, I like to get all the magazines just out of curiosity, maybe more than, but Phil Steele is obviously my favorite, and we'll have him on. I know, Bubba, that'll be probably next month, maybe July or so.
Yeah, we'll have Phil Steele on the program probably in July like we did last year. I want to say it was in the latter part of July because everything last year, was pushed back with COVID, especially, once we knew the season was starting a little bit later. Phil was waiting to see, waiting as late as possible before sending his book to be printed. But we'll certainly have Phil on at some point.
Last year, guys, if you remember, it was mail order only, and which would make me think probably number of sales were low for that 2020 magazine with it being mail order only. I'm just guessing. So if anybody's a collector, if you happen to have a 2020 copy, you might want to hang on to it.
Yeah, he told us the exact number. I can't recall what that number was, but I know on this program we'll talk a variety of topics, guys. And we'll have a brief roundtable before going to our recorded interview with Blake Carroll. Had the opportunity to catch up with him earlier today, right before lunchtime. Had about a half-hour conversation with him and dove into a lot of topics. And I know our listeners and viewers will really enjoy hearing what Coach Harrell had to say.
Hell, I'm going to enjoy it, Bubba, because I didn't get to take part in the interview because work-related issues. So I'm going to be listening to it with the listeners.
No doubt. I'm in the same boat. I couldn't get off for the interview. So, Bubba, I wanted to praise you. We talked about this. He doesn't like people to praise him on the air, but I will praise him about when we started the podcast. I told Bubba, I said, I can't wait for the day when you do the, he said, I'm kind of like an introvert. I'm like, and I said, I can't wait for the day when you're actually interviewing coaches and players and different things. And then you bring it to the show. And here we are. You've done it many times before, but I want to acknowledge you. Before we do that, I appreciate all your hard work. And Kyle, you're on the clock now. It's time for you to interview a coach, AD, or someone. You can do that soon, right?
No, just give me the upper. You get John Gilbert up here anytime, one-on-one, or anybody in the athletic administration. You just have to get them to agree to do it one-on-one with me. But no, I'm ready for that at any moment in time you want to set it up. Just make sure my work schedule allows it.
All right.
Between two rose bushes with Kyle Barber.
the stuff like that is right down my alley. I think if you look at the past interviews with John Gilbert and stuff, that's really what I like to do. Besides talk football, administration would be kind of my interviews of choice.
By the way, speaking of administration, we'll find out tomorrow, guys. What the big Board of Trustees meeting is all about. Is it about a new Pirate Club director? Is it about having more things for Cliff Godwin, a new contract? We'll find out what that is tomorrow. I thought it was today, but I get my days mixed up.
Have we heard any speculation, guys? Bubba, have you heard anything on the message boards or maybe from your dad, any of his sources? Any ideas?
I have not. My guess, just because of the nature of what it said, and that senior administrative personnel matter, I mean, it could be a lot of things, but in Pirate Club, executive director was my best guess.
Not that it even say it was related to athletics.
And that's a good point. I don't think that it did.
Yeah, so it could be something, you know, not even related to athletics. It could be something on the academic side.
Yes, it could. Cliff Godwin is a new professor at East Carolina, so. the history of baseball, or he's so smart he could teach just about anything. I hope that sincerely and seriously, I hope that the administration is working hard and doing everything to keep him. We know, guys, let's go ahead and get this out of the way and talk about it. We know Mississippi had Mike Bianco. He is staying in Ole Miss, so that's off the table. So now it comes down to the other – we dodged a bullet there. It comes down to, like Bubba and I were talking about, it comes down to, is Cliff Godwin choice B, C, D, E, F, G? It seems like there's so many coaches now that are still in the College World Series.
Yeah, there's the rumor is that their candidate's still in Omaha. I don't know who that would be. Tennessee's coach, I don't know what his background is, but he turned the Vols around in a hurry. Tennessee certainly has money. They certainly have baseball tradition, but not like LSU. So that's who came to mind. It's not Averett. Elliott's too old. I mean, I think Elliott's in his 60s. So I don't see that.
You don't think, why not? If he wins the World Series, why wouldn't he go to LSU?
Well, Dave, because their coach just retired. If you hire a guy in his 60s, you're not going to get so many more years out of him. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. So I don't know. I don't know who else would be a good fit for LSU. Have you guys heard any names?
Well, Bubba, before we talk about other possibilities, Tony Vitello is the coach at Tennessee, and Tennessee was eliminated today by Texas 8-4 out in Omaha. And afterwards, Tony Vitello was asked about the LSU job rumors, and he had this to say when asked if he had had any conversations with LSU. He said, no, I have not. I just made an idiot out of myself, at least for all the masculine folks watching, by getting teary-eyed about these kids, and that's where my focus has been. Like I said, the social life hasn't been existent for quite some time, well before our opening day game. And a part of that is I want to do as good of a job as I can for a school that gave me a chance, and I want to do as good of a job as I can for a group that we thought could go pretty far. And then, you know, the way the season evolved, like I said, these emotions are certainly not fake. I don't know if it's embarrassing or not, but it's coming from a place where that's my number one concern, is these guys.
Okay, so he really didn't answer the question. Well, he did answer the question, I guess, the question that was asked. At this point, he has not talked to him, but there should have been a follow-up from that, which was, are you interested in the job? Maybe not the right time to ask that, but that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It certainly sounds like he'll stay at Tennessee if they want to pony up by those comments.
Yeah, and he has a great, like you said, Kyle, Knoxville is a great town to live in, and they do have some tradition, not like LSU, but it's not like that he's going to be starving anytime soon. I don't know what he makes now, but I'm sure it's a lot better than most. So LSU is probably, guys, probably the most prestigious job in college baseball, but when it comes to Tennessee, is still in that league, and he could take something there in Tennessee and build it to a super regional, maybe even a every once in a while College World Series. He's already got him there. So, I mean, on a regular basis is what I'm trying to say. And so why, and the same thing, Bubba, with, you know, Kyle Bubba.
Is this year two? Is this year two for him in Knoxville?
It's not many.
It's at least that. I'll double check on that. But as far as his salary, he did take a voluntary pay cut with everything that's going on. But prior to that, his total compensation, I want to say it was right in the $600,000 range based on what I'm finding.
He took a voluntary pay cut. yeah, I would imagine that'll, yeah. Well, look, $600,000, yeah, there should be no more pay cuts coming. If you go to World Series in year two, you're in the SEC. Now, if they're not even willing to pay him his $600,000, yeah, I could see him going to LSU.
And this is. this is year four. So I thought it was definitely more than year two. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was three or four, but it is. This was year four that was just completed for Tony Vitello at Tennessee. Okay. And and thus far, he is, I think it says 134-68 in Knoxville. He went 29-27, 40-21, 15-2 last year before things got shut down, and then something like 50-18 or 50-19 this year.
Well, if the numbers are true and they're willing to pay $1.2 million a year, if that's true, they would be doubling his salary. Just like with Cliff, you know, that when people were talking about would Cliff go, I think if Cliff got straight up offered the job, Cliff makes a little over $400K here. I mean, if they're really paying $1.2 million, I don't know how you can turn that down. So it'll be interesting to see. Does Cliff...
some of the numbers being rumored at LSU were as high as 1.6 to 1.9.
That is insane.
Because Mike Bianco at Ole Miss, I think, is currently at least 1.3 or 1.4.
Yeah, so, and now if you're Cliff, though, if you're their second or third choice, do you still want it? I mean, it's still a whole hell of a lot of money. So, I don't know. That's, you would think at this point, if Cliff wasn't still a candidate, that there would be that release that I'm no longer a candidate for the coaching position at LSU, or you would hear a release from the university, and maybe – and maybe that is what's in the works tomorrow. But to me, to not hear that from Cliff, that I'm not a candidate for the LSU job anymore, or hear something from the university, tells me there's still a possibility he's going to Baton Rouge.
It's a possibility, but every day that goes by, I think it comes less and less, unless, you know, that he's like the fifth or sixth choice, like you said. But I mean,
well, he could be the second choice. I mean,
I feel like they've pretty much are saying that they want someone that's in the College World Series now. And no disrespect, as much as I think about him, but I think they're putting all their eggs in one basket as far as those candidates, like a handful of guys.
Well, there could just be one candidate, Dave. It could be.
No, they said that it was, they put out their Arizona's coach. They said Tim Corbin, which I think is crazy. Why would he leave Vandy? Tennessee's coach. There was like four or five coaches that were in, you know, like they were there.
Okay. Well, you know what? We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I know, Bubba, you had a chance to interview. The folks are probably dying to hear the interview with defensive coordinator Blake Harrell, right? So let's go to that interview with him right now.
June, we're about 6 weeks from the official start of the 2021 East Carolina football season. Right now, very excited to be joined by defensive coordinator Blake Harrell. Coach, welcome into the show.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Appreciate your time this morning. Fired up about Pirate football. So just let's go back to January of 2020. Little did we know, you know, what was going to transpire in that about a month and a half later. But March of 2020, you know, things got shut down there in mid-March. You didn't have a spring ball. The summer wasn't what it typically would be. And, you know, just everything was discombobulated. Just talk about the craziness of your first year running the defense with the Pirates.
Yeah, January 2020 seems like forever ago, but I guess it's really not that far back. It's in the rearview mirror, and thank goodness that COVID is getting behind us for sure. But, you know, it was had a great first month here, and then kind of like you said, we entered the pandemic, and it wasn't ideal for installing a defense and installing some new things we were doing defensively and getting to know players. But I thought our staff, our players did a great job of dealing with the circumstances. We always say control the controllables, and our players did that. They controlled what they could control, did a good job of picking up on new terminology, new schemes, just new ways of doing things, and did a good job of carrying that throughout the summer and into last fall. And I think you saw through the fall last year that early on you saw some things that we wanted to be identity-wise, and by the end of the season you saw that culture and that identity piece of what we want to do defensively, what Coach Houston has been building here for the last couple of years. You really saw that coming along in the last couple of ball games there. So was really excited about, you know, where we're going, and really just had a great spring, and the kids are fired up, got a lot of juice and energy right now, and just really excited about this coming fall. And just it's all coming together finally of just comparing this summer to last summer, where our players are, not only mentally, knowing the defense, knowing the game, but also physically being able to train here at Big John and just being around each other and just being in such a better place than we were a year ago. So excited about 2021. 2020 was a good year, just, you know, but glad it's behind us too at the same point, same time and moving on. So
before we dive in more to the here and the now, you know, you talk about the challenge of implementing a defense under, you know, in a pandemic.
Right.
Just how much did that, you know, hold you back, you not having those 15 spring practices, not having the face-to-face meeting time? I know you did your best to, you know, you used Kahoot, you used all the FaceTime and technology to your advantage. But just talk about how much of your defensive scheme and, you know, everything you wanted to implement, were you able to implement?
Well, it's like you said, anytime you're trying to install or teach through Zoom, you know, through FaceTime, and little Kahoot quizzes that we try to do and those type of things, it can be challenging, and you may not have someone's full attention. You know, that you may lose them at a certain point, or they don't have a chance to ask a question or get on the board, and you may walk through it, talk through it. You know, we talk about all the different ways there is to learn, and, you know, you talk about it, you show felt video of it, you go walk through it, you draw it on the board, and then you review the video from practice. So you never had those opportunities to do that last year, with just being the 15 spring practices. And, you know, beyond that, learning how kids, as a teacher, learning how kids, you know, their best environment for learning and what they do best. You know, okay, this kid needs some individual attention. This player needs to come in and he needs to write it down. This player just needs a handout. And so you never really had that opportunity to kind of find out the uniqueness of each individual. You know, Zoom kind of prohibits you from doing that sometimes. You know, it does, you know, limit to what you want to do during the season and limit you to what you want to do with your package. And, you know, we were such a, hey, let's install slow and get going. And then, you know, when the Marshall game got canceled and we had a little pause in the middle of camp there, it was really like we had to start back over. Then we had to kind of rush it all in, get ready for UCF. So it was kind of a start, stop, which was a buzz killer, so to speak, for anybody. And was that certainly for us, because each day, you know, I joke around with buddies now and even our players, you know, you never knew what the next day was going to hold, whether the season was going to get canceled, whether the season was still on, whether you're going to practice, who was going to test positive that day, what it may have been. So each day, just to get through the day, was a success. And I think to play a football season in a pandemic is a success. And I think, you know, our kids handled it really well looking back. And our coaching staff did a great job of just keeping our young men in a good place. And the fact that at the end of the season you're finishing strong says a whole lot.
Now, entering the program, obviously a very strong familiarity with you and Coach Houston from previous institutions. And, you know, Roy Tesh, Tripp Weaver, who had been coached by Coach Houston up in the mountains at TC Robertson High School. So just talk about that familiarity, and then, you know, fast forwarding now, after your first year running the defense, you have Tim Dowse coming in, focusing on, you know, defensive end, outside linebackers, and then also special teams coordinator.
Yeah, so I think we've got an awesome staff, you know, in the whole building, not just defensively, but in the whole building. And Coach Houston's done an awesome job of assembling those guys. And he's always been good at that everywhere I've been. And since I've always known him, he's really good at judging character of people and getting the right people on the bus and getting them in the right seat. So he's done a great job with that. And, you know, as you mentioned, working with Roy Tesh and Tripp Weaver before, made an easy transition for me as far as just we had some familiarity and, hey, this is how we did it when we were at this place, or here's how we did it before at this place. Let's go back to doing it that way, or let's recall here and recall there. So Tripp and Roy have been awesome from that standpoint. And Steve Ellis is he's a joy to have around every day and does a great job with our players and just kind of sets the tempo for every day and brings a lot of good ideas to the meeting room. And then, as you mentioned, Tim Dallas is finding ways to make us better and just some things he's added since he's been here this spring. And just a great addition to our defensive staff in there. So, and our support staff. I mean, we have an analyst now that we've hired who's with the Pittsburgh Steelers last year, who was on offense. So we've got Matt Sims in there who's, sees the film a little bit differently than defensive guys. So it's kind of nice to have guys in the room that maybe you haven't been out around all your life that kind of see things differently. So we can talk about new thoughts, new schemes, new ways of doing things that can make us even better this fall.
I'll tell you what, bringing Coach Dallas in, he had been a defensive coordinator at a couple previous stops, also a special teams coordinator.
Right.
So adding that kind of experience was very impressive. Excellent hire by Coach Houston, and certainly says a lot about East Carolina football and, Coach Houston, because I knew Coach Dallas referenced his meetings with Coach Houston at clinics and, conferences, down through the years, and said, hey, that's a guy that I'd like to work for. But you mentioned Steve Ellis, and one of the things that Coach Ellis brought, if you follow East Carolina football on social media, you see the sharp mentality. That's something
that's right.
Often referenced. So just talk about that.
Yeah. Coach Ellis, every day, we'll be out there stretching. He is going at those DBs just with a, hey, you better get your mind right. You better be ready to practice like a pro. Sharp mentality, just the toughness and playing with edge. And that's how we want to play defensively. That's and really with our whole program is play with an edge, play with a sharp mentality that, hey, we ain't out here just to kind of go through the motions. We out here to eat. We're hungry. And that's the way we got to play, to give ourselves a chance to win ball games. So he's been great from that standpoint of just putting that mindset, not only with our DBs and our corners, but it's kind of carried throughout our whole football team, and it's become contagious. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. John, let's start taking a look at some of the personnel. We'll start off with the defensive line. Last year, the defensive line was extremely young, but some very talented pieces. Just talk about some of the things that you saw out of those guys last fall, guys like Elijah Morris coming as a walk-on and earning a scholarship,
right,
and so on.
Yeah, excited about those guys up front with their hands down. I mean, like you said, they were young guys, and they got better each and every week. And, they're still going to be freshmen on the field, but they're second-year players, so just excited to see how much they grow from year one to year two. And you look at any program across the country and you look at freshmen and then you look at them as a second year player, and there's a huge change, not only with their body, but just kind of how they understand the game. Now they're not in a high school mindset anymore. They're in a college mindset. They're in, college setting as far as in the meeting rooms, understanding exactly what their assignment is, what the defense really entails. So I think our players are really taking hold of that right now. It's just taking not what's my job, but what are we trying to do with each defensive call? And as you mentioned, Elijah Morris is, last year as a walk-on, great story, and earned a scholarship, ended up starting ball games for us. And he's really developed his body this spring and changed his body this summer, where I think we're going to see Elijah even excel more this coming fall. But those guys up front, D'Angelo McKinney, Rick DeBreu, really excited to have those guys back and just being older guys as well. I mean, Rick's has got as much twitch as anybody on our football team and can get off the rock, and just really excited about what he brings. And then the young guys too, like you mentioned, Xavier McIver and Deontay Johnson, Sue Radware, those guys, just kind of excited that they're finally out of year one, getting into year two, Jason Shuford, and, excited to see them this fall.
Yeah, you talk Rick DeBreu. I specifically recall the Navy game with the low capacity. Obviously, I was sitting down low and just watching Rick DeBreu get off the football and wreak havoc and make some tremendous plays. Really stand out.
Yeah, he did. And that game, I think you forced a couple fumbles or some, you know, quarterback mess point there. Just gave him some problems, and that's the things he can do. And, you know, he may play on the edge a little bit this year, play inside a little bit. So just kind of as he gets older, understands, you know, the defense a little better, he's able to play multiple positions and do multiple things, so we can put him in the best situations to be successful on Saturdays.
One of the points of emphasis during the offseason with recruiting was finding an edge rusher or two. Transfer from Southeast Missouri State, Bryant Pirtle. And talk about him and some of the other guys you're counting on in that role.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing we've done was within our program, we moved a tight end over to defense and Jeremy Lewis. And he just adds some athleticism for us at the rush outside linebacker position. Who's, you know, at tight end, you're involved about, you know, whatever part of the offense. When you're at rush, you're involved every snap. So just excited. He made a lot of plays this spring, whether it's run game or rushing the passer. He was able to use his athleticism to beat some offensive tackles there this spring and cause some havoc and create some chaos in the backfield there. So excited about him. You know, and then the other guys growing up as well, Emmanuel Hickman, doing a good job just kind of maturing, being an older guy, working like an older guy, developing his body. So those are the two guys that's really stood out so far this spring and this summer of just moving in the right direction. You know, and we still expect Demir Faison and Chad Stevens and, you know, those guys to keep coming along and keep playing some meaningful snaps for us. Kareem Stenson is another guy that will be there. And Xavier Smith is a guy that played inside backer for us last year and will continue to do that. But you might see him lined up on the edge as well. So, you know, if you put him and Jeremy Lewis on the edge, that's two athletic kids that the offenses are going to have to worry about and game plan for and may get some offensive tackles some problems.
At that next level, let's start off with the inside backers. Bruce Bivens, also Xavier Smith. Those two have played a lot of football.
Yeah. And, you know, Xavier, Bruce, Aaron Ramser, Miles Berry, and then we've added a transfer, Jacoby Simpson. He was at TCU, then junior college. All those guys were older guys. I mean, they're fourth, fifth, six-year players who, you know, they carry themselves like that too. So, you know, and anytime a guy's going into his last year, you always see change of how their mindset. And I think Bruce and Aaron right now, going into their last year of eligibility, they've kind of prepared themselves, you know, differently. They're in the meeting rooms every day, getting extra work in, getting extra film study in, whether it's just watching our scheme, watching opponents, or watching just some NFL guys, NFL tape, who they want to model their game after. So they're certainly putting the work in, really excited about those guys, being field generals out there with Xavier. You know, he does a great job at that and brings a good energy to our team. Bruce is as fast as anybody we have in 10 yards. We talk about that all the time. I don't know what he runs in the 40, but from 10 yards, from where he stands to get to the quarterback, he can get there pretty quick. The ball carries pretty fast. Aaron Ramser is a guy we need to keep healthy. And just if we can do that, Aaron's got a natural ability to play linebacker there and find the ball carry. And done really good, and excited about Miles as well and Jacoby. So, and then we got some young guys there at linebacker, Taylor Jackson, Eric Docker, that are, you know, they were freshmen last year, and they keep coming along and give us some good depth there.
You talk about getting to the quarterback fast. The guy that can certainly do that and wreak some havoc is Jairo Wilson. You know, his athleticism, 6'3", you know, a little over 200 pounds. I know last season he was just over 200 pounds. I'm sure he's put on some pounds now getting in there with Big John. But with that athleticism, a play that stands out in my mind is the play he made against SMU in the season finale when he stripped it.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch there. And Jair is, you know, everything our program is about, Jair Wilson's about. He's, like you said, long, gives people problems on the edge. And then when you bring him on the blitz there, he finds a way to get to the quarterback. He finds a way to strip the football out, whether it's SMU, Tulsa, wherever it may be. He's always punching that thing and getting it out and doing a nice job there. I think coach is even letting him switch jersey numbers to the new zero. So he's going to be the first Pirate in program history to wear zero. So he's certainly deserving of that. And then the other guy out there that's back that played, you know, a couple of years ago, had a lot of starts, is Gerard Stringer. You know, similar body type to Jaira, long, rangy, can run. So having both those guys out there on the edge, it could give us, you know, some advantages there, or put them on, you know, in there together for some packages. Really excited about that.
All right, tell us about the guys that you know, Steve Ellis and Trip Weaver are coaching up on the back end. You have guys that have been in the program, you know, like Jaquan McMillan, who just had a tremendous start to his Pirate career. Malik Fleming's certainly shown some good signs. And then you have a transfer like DJ Ford.
Yeah, so, you know, I say that all the time. Like, you know, we are starting to look like the rest of the American teams in our conference, especially with our stand-up guys right now that are older. They've been in the weight room for a couple of years, and they play like that too. So, you know, whether it's Warren Saba, Juwan Powell, you know, Sean Dorsow's back, you know, started a bunch of games last year. So we've got some experience back there. And you mentioned DJ Ford, who was at North Carolina and started games there and did a really nice job this spring fitting in, understands the scheme, understands the system, and he's an older guy who plays like an older guy who's played a lot of snaps. So excited about what he's bringing to our defense. And then, you know, at corner, I think you mentioned Malik Fleming, Nolan Johnson, Jaquan McMillan. Those are three guys that we consider all three of them starters and feel comfortable with all three of those guys, what they can do. And we got to find a way to, you know, talk a little bit about packages earlier with Jaira and Gerard. We got to find, you know, some ways to get those guys on the field as well back there. And I think, you know, Julius Wood is another guy we brought in from the junior college that we're pretty excited about. Athleticism, another long guy that we look forward to seeing him this fall.
One of the things your team did pretty well at last season, creating some miscues, forcing some turnovers. So just talk about the emphasis that you guys place on that.
Yeah, so, you know, the big thing is we say it's all about the ball. Coach Houston just actually bought me a new for our meeting rooms. We now have a little ball strip. It's kind of a little platform with a ball on it so that as kids walk by, they can just punch the ball out, slap the ball out. So just kind of refocus on, you know, focus on that. I think anytime you focus on a part of the game, you're going to see it show up. And we certainly did last fall. You know, the stats show, hey, you win the turnover battle. There's, you know, 90% of the time you win the game. So that's what we want to keep focusing on. So we'll focus on, hey, it's all about the ball, creating turnovers, whether it's getting to the quarterback, stripping the ball out, you know, picking the ball off in the air. And it takes everybody. You know, it's not just the DB being in the right spot, but it's the D lineman getting pressure on it. So we always say it's we show clips to our guys beginning the meetings, WWKMD, what would Khalil Mack do? Khalil Mack's not just satisfied with getting a sack. Khalil Mack wants to get a strip sack. So we kind of – it's kind of a little neat teaching point we focus on for each meeting there.
Coach, a few minutes ago you referenced on some of the growth of the defensive line. Obviously, you're seeing it at all three levels of the defense, but just up front, you know, in years past, defensive line has been a bit undersized. But, you know, looking at a picture from last fall and then looking at a picture during spring ball, I thought, holy cow, these guys have really transformed their bodies. So just talk about that a little more specifically as far as some of the weight guys have put on and the growth they've made strength-wise.
Well, Elijah Morse is probably the one that's put on some really good weight. And just, you know, it looks like a guy that's a college football player now instead of a high school kid walking in day one. You know, we talked about D'Angelo earlier and Manny Hickman earlier, guys, and Rick. Those are three guys that's been in the program, been in a college weight room, and now they've had a whole year to train. So that's been nice to see. And Xavier McIver and Deontay Johnson, Javon McCray, those are guys that aren't freshmen anymore and are looking good and really excited about what they're going to do this fall.
Early last season, the run defense wasn't as good as we would have liked for it to be, but just as the season wore on, you saw teams in short yardage situations start to throw the football a little bit. Like SMU comes to mind in that season finale. I know there was at least one, if not a couple, fourth down stops. So just talk about the emphasis on stopping the run, because I know this year, right out of the gates, you're playing App State, who that's what they pride themselves on.
no question. Then I think the fourth down stop that we all top of our minds is Juwan Powell. You know, there's fourth and one. They're going for it on the own side of the 50. It may have been one of the bigger plays of the year defensively. They go for it fourth and one. We do a great job up front building the wall, and Juwan Powell comes downhill and gets a tackle for a loss. So everything we do each and every week starts with stopping a run. And that's kind of what we focus on, what we build upon, you know. And I think as the year went along, we did a better job focusing on that, taking that away, and trying to make people, you know, like you said, throw the football in situations where they may not want to do it. And we'll continue to do that. I think we'll get even better at it this fall. We did a better job at it this spring of just creating some penetration up front, creating some negative plays, and doing a better job stopping the run. So that's what we got to continue to focus on. And you mentioned App State. That's certainly who they want to be. They want to be a top 15 team in the nation for in rushing, and we want to be a top 10 team, 15 team in the nation for defensive rushing. So rush stats. So it should be a good battle. We know we got to take that away from them. We know we got to make them want to throw the ball. And I think you see that in a couple games last year they played. The Marshall game comes to mind. Marshall made them, you know, took the run game away from them and made them throw the football, and Marshall ends up winning that game. So we kind of want to take that same mindset into that game on September 2nd in Charlotte.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A couple more things for you, Coach, and we'll wrap it up. But, you know, going into year two, having those 15 spring practices, having a normal summer and fall camp, just talk about what's an area or two. Obviously, you want to see improvement across the board. That goes without saying. But, you know, what's one or two areas that we just absolutely need to see some improvement in?
Well, I think you kind of hit on a couple of them already. One's just being consistent, stopping the run. You know, if we can go in there and hold somebody to 100 yards rushing, you know, I know you play different teams every week, and Navy, if you hold them to 100 yards rushing, everybody's doing jumping jacks. But you got to be able to shut the run game down and make them do things they don't want to normally do, regardless of who you're playing in our league right now. So that's number one for me. And then the number two thing, like you said, hey, when it's time for them to throw the ball, we got to be able to get to the quarterback and create some sacks. So those are two things we're focusing on. And we'll continue to hit on, you know, what we want to beat: turnovers, be great on third down, create negative plays, tackles for loss, sacks, those type of things. Because those things can help us win games. It's not just about, you know, looking good, being fancy, whatever it may be. Those translate to winning football games, and that's what we want to be defensively.
Final thing for you. A few minutes ago, you were talking about how we finally are beginning to look like an American Athletic Conference football team in the uniform, and have the size, athleticism, speed that we need. So just, you know, year one for you in the AAC after moving up from Kennesaw State, I know you said ball is ball, but, you know, like, what were some of the things that you were maybe surprised by or maybe not so surprised by? Like, what was as anticipated, making that transition to East Carolina and the AAC?
You know, the AAC is a very good football conference. I mean, it's, you know, like we say, it should be the Power Six to the Power Five. And the AAC can certainly go hold its own. You've seen that with Cincinnati and Georgia last year. And there's some good football teams in this conference. And there's guys in this conference who are long and can run and are good football players, probably play a lot of Power Five schools. So that's, you know, we're getting closer and closer to that every day, that we can fit in with those other guys. So I think the biggest, you know, if I had to look back at it and say, hey, what's the one thing that kind of stood out, is the speed and the athleticism in this conference is probably even better than you anticipate going in. But I think we're closing the gap on that quickly.
Appreciate your time this morning, Coach. I know June's obviously you're always going to have camps, and it's going to be busy. But this year, it's even more so with the camps and, you know, recruiting being you know, even more spotlighted because of everything that's going on the last 16 months. But I appreciate you carving out a half hour for us, and we look forward to having you back on down the road.
That's great. I appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Coach Harrell.
Yep.
He trained. He trained his inner coach over there at the end when Bubba asked him about camp. He said, "Oh,
oh, very much so. No doubt.
Yeah. Coach Harrell, Coach O.
But there you go. Well,
great interview, Bubba. Good job with Blake. Blake's an easy interview. When you give him something, he takes it and runs. He's got a lot to say, which is really good when you're doing an interview. And it sounds like he's very optimistic. The talent sounds like he thinks we've improved the talent we have. And then thanks to guys that are coming in are going to be able to contribute. You can hear the optimism, just like with Coach Houston back in the spring. You can hear the optimism in his voice of what he thinks we can be. And talked about stopping the run game one against App State, and easier said than done. But that is clearly the game plan. But they know that's the game plan, and they know they got to run the ball. So, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm fired up. Hey, listen to that, got me fired up. And, my biggest takeaway from it is you can hear the confidence. It wasn't there last year. And you can hear it this year.
No question about it. We have the big game coming up September the 2nd at Bank of America Stadium, the Duke's Classic. That's going to be great. And that'll be a Thursday night. One of the first games, certainly, of the college football season. We're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of Pirate fans. You can get your tickets now. I know Ticketmaster.com, and they have those on sale to the public.
And there's some 40. There's some. I think they're $44. There's some $44 tickets there through Ticketmaster. I can't remember what the tickets were we were selling for ECU. Seems like they were more than $44. So.
Oh, no question about it. Well, I'm sure that another thing we talked about is maybe the price structure was because of they thought they were going to have less seats. So maybe they'll have different price options. And it would be nice to have lower prices because it's kind of like Walmart. If you have the tickets higher, then less people are going to go. If you have some of those seats, maybe $30 even, then that gives more people in the stands. I mean, that's what you want. Sure. You want to have 74,000. It's roughly about 74,000 you can seat at Bank of America Stadium. Why not have cheaper prices? So those $120 seats, yeah, you got to have some of those, the high-end seats, but there should be a lot of seats that should be reasonable. You know, if you think about it, if App State were coming to Greenville or we were going to Boone, then those seats would probably be, what, guys, about $65? So just think about that.
55 to 65.
Yeah, in that range. So we're willing to pay that, but, man, some of those Kyle, they were in the Kyle Barber range of like $120.
Yeah, Kyle Barber ain't paying $120. But no, they're all the ticket prices I saw through Ticketmaster were below that. So there's a lot of cheaper options out there if you want to go to game one in Charlotte against App State. You'll also have the option of watching it on ESPNU. But many Pirates, we'd like to have as many Pirates that can go and support the team and try to get as close to a 50-50 environment as possible.
No doubt. We're going to have a lot of fun. And I know, Kyle, the football team, by the way, want to remind fans, we're going to actually have – we had Blake Harrell there. We're going to have the coaches on all throughout the summertime getting you ready for that. Plus, we're going to preview a lot of American teams, plus the matchups we have. But we'll have different coaches from around the country, former players from different teams maybe previewing – their school. We're going to have a lot of fun this summer for sure. I know Bubba has been working hard on that. And Kyle, we can definitely use your help in the interview category for sure.
Thanks.
It's going to be a wild and fun summer for sure. You never know who's going to be on the show, but there's going to be a lot of, I know for a fact, we'll have a lot of football coaches.
We'll have a lot of coaches, a lot of former ECU players. We'll have coaches from other schools. We're lining up our opponents' coaches. We got one I know already lined up. One turned us down. That's just kind of how it goes. And we'll continue reaching out to people. We'll have Phil Steele on, as we mentioned. It's that time of year. You start to get ready for college football. I mean, it's we're in late June. Guys, really, they'll be practicing before you know it.
Oh yeah, no question about it. And how about the big news today? Did you see that about I know that about Saber. Did you see that, Kyle?
I did not.
I know Bubba and I wanted to talk about that. Student athlete brand resource education, right, Bubba?
Yeah, if you give me a moment, I'll pull that up.
Okay. But basically, Kyle, they started something in-house as a way to for our athletes for education on the all the stuff that we've been hearing about with likeness and image and all that stuff. Well, they're going to have education inside the university as a way for these athletes to find out how they can, I guess, monetize their image likeness, about how they can, I guess, do advertising, become a brand.
Great.
Bubba, yeah, I know you have that official release, right?
I do. Like you said, it says ECU Athletics partners with Miller School of Entrepreneurship to launch Saber, a comprehensive NIL program. And like you said, that of course is referencing the name, image, and likeness legislation that is anticipated to be passed by the NCAA. It said that and like you mentioned, SABRE stands for Student Athlete Brand Resource Education. And we have it on our social media, so I'm not going to read everything. And there is a key component. It says during the sessions with the student athletes, they'll learn about what are called the four E's, which is education on available resources, evaluating existing brand, expanding entrepreneurial knowledge, and also empowerment to grow brand. But the entire release is on our social media. I will read a quote from John Gilbert. He said, "We are excited about the establishment of the Saber program, which is a comprehensive approach to how we can educate and provide the necessary resources to help our student athletes maximize their brand. The partnership with the Miller School of Entrepreneurship gives us a unique opportunity for our student athletes to increase their individual value on social media and understand the process of becoming their own business. We have great partnerships with the university that will give our student athletes a roadmap and resources to learn more about branding, entrepreneurship, marketing plans, financial literacy, and tax management and licensing."
You know, two things I take away from that without even giving my opinion on it, because that's a whole nother podcast. But the word brand, the term brand and branding has been bastardized. That is the most overused word in the modern English language, along
your with, brand, Kyle,
along with new normal. New normal and brand. It is the most overused bullcrap wording. I am so sick of it. Brand, brand, brand. It's our brand. That brand,
about brand.
Her brand. It's my brand. This is our brand. What brand? Whose brand? Brand yourself. Brand, brand, brand. 20 years ago, nobody ever used that term. Brand. It's. I'm. Oh God.
What's the barber?
You know, what's
the barber brand?
I guess using the term brand is the new normal. You know, it's just,
hey Kyle, what's your favorite brand?
Well, I'd like to take a branding iron and stick it on somebody's ass is what I'd like to do, because I'm sick of the term. And then the other thing I will take away from that is the last thing that was mentioned, taxes. Boys, when you're presenting yourself with the name, image, and likeness, what you're kind of doing is you're setting yourself up to be an independent contractor. Mm-hmm. And when you're going out and getting your own advertisement deals, your own sponsorship deals, et cetera, et cetera. And when you're an independent contractor, taxes become very interesting. So that is something these guys need to pay close attention to, because they're going to pay taxes on this money. And it's not going to be a situation where you're going to get a W-2 from ECU. You're setting yourself up as an independent contractor. And that is something that definitely needs to be stressed. Is these boys taking care of Uncle Sam, because they're making a certain amount, they're gonna have to pay some taxes on it, and you could have some guys 4 years down the road in some tax problem with some tax problems.
Hey, so by the way,
that is a key. That is the biggest thing that that needs to be stressed to these guys. That was the last thing mentioned. It needs to be the first thing mentioned.
By the way, Kyle, I was going to say, you know, that old adage, be careful what you wish for, you just might get it. And that's exactly a perfect example right there of being an independent contractor. All the stuff we talked about in the past, it could be a problem. Also, the fact that you have a situation, which I hadn't even thought about, the tax issue right there, where you can have a whole bunch of taxes. It's going to be a huge
and it's really easy. Nightmare. Yeah, it's real easy when you have an employer and they're withholding your taxes.
Right.
But when you know, I'll use Greenville Toyota as an example. When you're doing commercials for Greenville Toyota and they're handing you a check, it's your responsibility to pay Uncle Sam out of that.
That would be a great sponsor for our show, Greenville Toyota. Yeah,
sure.
So you could drive a new truck, wouldn't you, from Greenville Toyota?
Absolutely, Tacoma or Tundra, either one.
Yeah, RAV4.
Yeah, but it's that's something that I hope and some kids will have parents that'll make sure that kind of stuff gets taken care of, and you know, and there'll be people at universities that'll obviously, I mean, they kind of sure will help to a point to make sure that kind of. I mean, what? I mean, every day now as a head football coach and a staff, you know, and athletics. Who would have thought? Now you may need a CPA for the student athletes.
Yeah.
So I mean, what's that going to be the new thing for the athletic department? The CPA for the student athletes. I mean, I mean, what a, you know, I don't know how soon this stuff's going to hit. I don't know if you're going to see Holt Naylor's doing commercials for, pick a Parker's Barbecue this fall.
Hey, that'll be great.
You know, but who knows? It's an interesting time. I'm not totally against the name, image, and likeness and kids being able to monetize their image. I'm not totally against that, but it's tricky.
Another thing too is let's be honest, let's be real. Not only about I have no problems really with the name, image, likeness. I think that it's another situation where it's been blown out of proportion to these athletes about from people on the outside about how much money they can make.
Exactly.
And how many, and you've made this point, Kyle, how many folks on, and I no disrespect to our Pirates, but how many guys can actually make money off the ECU Pirate team?
Yeah, I mean, and that's exactly right. And it's not just East Carolina. It's going to be the same with Alabama or anywhere else.
Right.
If you're the hell, forget the offensive line. If you're the second string quarterback, nobody's going to want you to advertise. They're going to want, you know, unless there's certain reasons, you know, right now, I would imagine, obviously, Holt Naylor's. I would imagine both our running backs. Any skill position player, you'll probably get an opportunity. If you're a star on defense, but your defensive lineman, your offensive lineman, your tight ends, et cetera, there's not going to be a lot of opportunities for them to make money. So I think you're going to have a lot of disappointed kids. You're going to have some kids that are going to make a lot of money, but I think the majority are going to be somewhat disappointed.
Right. It sounds like life, right? Some make a lot and most make little. So they're getting ready for we're getting them ready for the real world, I guess, so to speak. But,
and, you know, is it going to create jealousy? Will the quarterback and the running backs take care of their offensive linemen? You know, hey boys, you guys help me on Saturday. You're not in position to get advertisement deals, so I'm going to give you a cut. Will that happen?
Yeah. Here, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out, but I think it's one of those situations, again, that it sounds like a great idea, but then when you implement it, it turns out to be a huge disaster for sure. We have a few minutes left of the show, Kyle, and I know that get your thoughts on Bubba wanted us to talk about the College World Series. I know he's producing right now behind the scenes, so I'll get your takes before we go. We'll have a few minutes left and talk about the College World Series.
I don't give a crap. East Carolina's not playing in it. NC State is doing well in it, which makes me want to follow it even less. I'm not jumping on any Wolfpack bandwagon. I hope they lose. It is what it is, man. At this point, I just hope anybody but NC State wins it. Don't really care about it. When the Pirates season was over, I quit following. And when the Wolfpack started doing well, I really checked out. So, my cousin, brother's uncle's daddy went to NC State, so I'm cheering for him. Screw that. anybody but the pack at this point is all I'll say.
Well, I'll tell you this. We are going to be in Omaha, and when we do, you'll have a different feeling, I know. But I've been paying more attention each year because I know we're getting closer and closer. We've gone from a regional team. Now we're a super regional team. We're knocking at that door for Omaha. So I'm getting ready for it. I'm getting ready for all the everything Omaha, all the great stuff out there. I tell you what, they were talking about this on the radio Monday, I believe it was, about the great restaurants they have out there. I was thinking about daydreaming about Kyle Barber, myself, Bubba Rosenbaum, eating at some of these great restaurants before, after the games. I mean, there's all kinds of great things. We have our good friend, former player, basketball player, Othello Meadows is from Omaha. He's going to have a big party for us there at a local sports bar. We're going to do a show there. There's going to be a lot of great things to happen. But more importantly, I'll be happy because the Pirates got there finally knocking down that big obstacle, that big door. The monkey will be off our back sooner than later. It's a matter of the next year or two. I really believe it.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly hope so. And you know, then I'll keep up with it. But no, I can't follow it, particularly with the Wolfpack doing so well. If they win the whole thing, I don't know if I can handle it. But and yeah, it's haterade and it's jealousy, and I'll admit it.
Well, at least you're an honest man, and you're a real man for standing up and certainly admitting that for sure. Let's see what we have here. Okay, let's put this. We'll put this comment here up from Johnny Robertson. he said, "I'm just joining, so I don't know if we already covered this. I have a strange dream early Saturday morning. Are we all broadcasting at 1:30? Yes, that's a great question, Johnny. What happened was Ben Upton from 11.7 podcast. We all agreed to do the show. And then between everybody's schedule, not to put it all on him, we had to push it back and push it back. He's on Central Time, so we had to push it back. And so it just kept going further and further back. We don't normally do shows in the middle of the night, but that particular show to accommodate everybody's schedule and kind of give a weekend podcast, if you will, like we like to do. So it was a scheduling issue for all of us involved.
Yeah, Bob asked if I wanted to take part, and I fell asleep. The latest I can remember doing a podcast was after the South Florida game this past year, where Bubba and I, and I believe Sutton Young, that was a pretty late game, and we just beat the Bulls, and we're all pretty fired up.
Yes.
So I believe that was the latest, and that was checking in about midnight. So I guess that's a new record for latest podcast. This one this past Saturday that Bubba did with the dude in Omaha.
Yeah, we had a good time with that. Elijah Samples commits, a 6'4", 270 offensive lineman who plays for former Pirate. How about that? Bernard Williams at North Forsyth. So very cool there. And also, how about this? Also commits from wide receiver Brock Spaulding. Read about him on Hoist the Colors today. I want to give a shout out to our good friend Steven Igo. Great stuff. I think that's from Northern Virginia that we got that commit. He played, he played lacrosse the season's over. They fell short to win a state championship in football. So now he's I think he's got one more year. He's a class of 22, Brock Spaulding is. So I know you're a running back guy, but I know how much you love that wide receiver position. Brock Spaulding is going to be a great one at East Carolina, and welcome to Pirate Nation.
Yeah, I'm glad to have him aboard. The Virginia area, always good kids from not only Northern Virginia, but obviously down in the Tidewater area. Good to have him aboard. One thing that I do keep questioning about this staff is we're not landing a lot of Eastern North Carolina kids.
Right.
And I think that'll change. But you get your talent where you can get it. And certainly want to recruit well in Virginia. It is in the region. And glad to have Brock on board. And hopefully he'll have a good fall up there at his high school. I'm not sure what high school he plays with in Virginia, but hopefully he'll have a good fall and come here healthy after a great season.
No doubt we lost the Wolfpack. Speaking of being bitter about the Wolfpack, was it Michael Williams that's from Greenville that's like a four-star athlete? He actually committed to Dave Doran and company. So unfortunately, I know that that was a big disappointment. That's somebody that Houston and company had worked really hard on, and I give them the props on it. It just comes down to so simply, I was going to comment, I'm glad you brought MC State up, Kyle, for that very reason. All these programs are now saying, you know, East Carolina don't have a good team, blah, 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 blah. And they won't be able to say that much longer. We've had six straight losing seasons, but the recruiting, I'm sure, has been brutal. And I'm sure that the kid wanted to get away from Greenville. We've had other guys that were local guys that stayed in Greenville, but this particular one didn't. And it comes down to, like you said, Kyle, he's trying to go to somewhere where they can win. And unfortunately, sometimes kids don't see that we're very close to winning. And I believe this year we're a bowl team. I'll stick with that. And next year we're going to be competing for an American championship. You can write it down that you heard it here first in the Sports Objective.
Yeah, the young man from Rose High School.
Yes.
He chose to go to Raleigh. It is what it is. That's his right, his choice. Sometimes you want to get away from home, but it is what it is. I think the recruiting hopefully will improve in the East as we start winning football games. Sometimes home's the last place you get. And when this fall, I think we're going to put a product on the field that will be very competitive and hopefully get to a bowl game and pick up recruiting a little bit more in Eastern North Carolina.
No doubt. And another commit we want to mention, Sean Ravel, I think it's, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, 6'3", D-back from Lewisburg Junior College. How about that, Kyle? 4'4", at camp. So very excited about that. He's one that was a huge pickup. And I tell you what, DJ Ford and Ford and Company, it's built for tough. I know that folks have used that. I think it was our good friend Ronnie Woodard, the reflector, that put that built for tough. So his Carolina transfer, I know Ford is going to be great. And then you have Revel, I'm pronouncing that right, from Lewisburg coming in. But that secondary, we're going to try to get former coach.
So Rick is the kid from Lewisburg, is that a 2021 recruit?
He's coming in. Yeah, he's transferring in.
Now what is his background?
He's had, I guess, 2 years with we're going to do
Was he recruited? Where was he going coming out of high school that he ended up at a junior college?
That I'm not sure. I have to ask Bubba. I've heard great things about him, but I haven't had a chance to research that particular
I need to do that research myself.
So I admit that. But anyway, we're going to keep obviously talking about all football all season long, summer long. It's finally summer. We're very excited. We're getting our magazines again. We'll have Phil Steele on very soon. We've got a lot of coaches coming up. We actually have Bob Rathman coming on soon. In the next couple of days, we'll have him on talking about the Hawks making the NBA Eastern Finals. So congratulations to them. Bob is one of the broadcasters that I look up to and admire. He's such a great guy and been a friend of the show for about a year or two now. We appreciate him very much and looking forward to that's exciting news when the Hawks again making the finals in the Eastern Conference. So good luck to them, and we'll keep an eye on that. I think a lot of us pay attention to NBA and NHL when it comes to the end of the season, regular season, and certainly with the playoffs. Do you have anything, Kyle, before we go?
Not a thing. Go Pirates.
All right. Well, we'll be talking to some of the new coaches we have. Kevin Williams coming back, by the way. And another one, Kyle, very excited about our new softball coach as well. Kevin, and of course, is an alum of East Carolina. We talked about him. He's coming back to coach the men's golf team. We'll have him on soon. Plus, Shane Winkler, the softball coach, will have him on. And so we'll have him on very, very soon. All right. We're going to get out of here. Thanks to Bubba Rosenbaum. I know he's producing right now. Appreciate you, buddy, very much. Kyle, man, thank you so much. Thanks to our defensive coordinator for football, of course, and Blake Harrell. Appreciate him as well. All right. Until next time, you've been watching and listening to The Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Udon Cheek, assistant track and field coach at East Carolina University. You are plugged into the Sports Objective Podcast. If you are a fan, you are plugged into the right place. And if you're really a fan, you will share that link. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. Boom!